Randall Board of Directors to order. It is Monday, June 6th. I think we have a member voice portion tonight. We have Marcy Borden to speak to us tonight.
Yes, good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good.
I spoke at the Board of Directors meeting in April, and I had expressed a concern and a request that I didn't feel was properly addressed, and so I'd like to talk about it again. During the meetings, it was not exactly relayed what I said correctly, so I asked Wendy Parker if she could publish a letter for me, and I'm going to read to you what I said to her. Wendy, I'd like to correct the record regarding my comments at Members' Voice at the BCA board meeting on the 4th of April, and would appreciate it if you would publish this letter in the next issue of the Village Mill. The official minutes of that meeting reflect, quote, Marcy Borden, Bayport Landing, expressed concern that board members are using personal electronic devices during board meetings, end quote. What I actually said was, good evening, Madam President, members of the board. My name is Marcy Borden from Bayport Landing, and I hope that I am speaking for the entire community. I request that while this board is in public session, board members refrain from using personal electronic devices. The practice detracts from the decorum of these proceedings and demonstrates a lack of respect of the process and to the members of the community association as a whole. Personally, I consider it unprofessional and rude. This is a reasonable request. Thank you, end quote. The fact that my request was ignored and the behavior I requested to be stopped was exhibited and continued for most of the remaining board meeting was surprising. What was more surprising and more disappointing was the fact that other board members allowed this behavior to continue. BCA residents, including John and Joanne Carini, who were present at the board meeting, feel the way I do. This, in my opinion, speaks volumes. Thank you.
Any other members to speak from the membership? Yes, Helen Neal.
Nothing prepared. Just a couple observations. I know everybody's upset about, it seems to be upset about the way Chesterfield County is choosing to make repairs in the roadways through Brander Mill. I just want to put on record here that McTeers Cove Road is worse now than it was before. They came through with the tar and the stones, and for a month they've never come back. There's still piles of them there, and another 10 or 20% of the road is just crumbling, and it's being ignored. So I think I'll take that on with the county, but I just thought I wanted to let you know. The other one is very, very minor. And I've been here now 3.5 years, and I'm just wondering how the flowers get chosen to be placed at each one of the neighborhood entrances. I'm not complaining. I'm just wondering, because all the roads that I travel on all have the begonias except three. And those three get the red salvia or whatever. I'm not an expert on flowers. But I just wonder, they don't show up very well. And the others seem to show up better. So I don't know why we have two different kinds and how that's chosen where it goes. Just a thought. Thank you.
Yes, please.
The way they're chosen is by where they are located by sun and shade. Mm-hmm. Some of them are sun-loving, like begonias, and the larger wing begonias that are in the other locations are a shade-loving plant, and so that's the way the mm-hmm. landscaper chooses them.
Is a begonia for shade?
Mm-hmm. Well,
but that's not what
it's
we
an
have.
Angel wing begonia.
Yeah, it's an angel.
An angel
okay.
Wing begonia, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's the larger green, dark green leaf with a red
right.
flower on
mm-hmm.
it, but it's a larger leaf. That's more of a shade.
Well, I've only counted three out of 20-some that I've had, so I'm just curious that all those others seem to get sun and those three don't. I'm surprised. Just asking. Thanks.
Okay, moving on to the minutes. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from the organizational meeting May 2nd?
So moved.
And a second for motion, please.
Second.
Any comments on the minutes? Corrections? Being no comment or corrections for the minutes, call. call the question. All those in favor of the minutes as submitted, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Now, can I get a motion to approve the minutes from the regular board of meetings?
So moved.
Board of directors meetings for May 2nd.
So moved.
Can I get a second for the motion?
Second.
All right. Any director comment on the minutes from the regular meeting on May 2nd? Or corrections? There being no comments, so can we call a question? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Are those opposed? Okay, President's Report. This being my first, planned meeting as the President of the BCA Board of Directors, I'm going to just make mention of a couple things that some changes I've made as far as the meeting, and the changes are hopefully put in place for the benefit of the membership, those that especially attend the meeting themselves. I'm really trying to introduce, I think for a lot of folks that come in here, it's tough to read all of the backup material and everything that is provided to the members at the meeting, but it's tough to read that in a short period of time, or if you get it offline, I know it's tough to go through everything. So each of our topic points, especially those topic points that we'll have that are under motion, there'll be a brief description by the community manager as to what we're discussing beforehand, so the members of the community will understand what we're talking about. And for the benefit of those that are listening at home, as it were, because we continue to mention that our meetings are now available via audio recording on the BCA website. Another thing is just as a board member, and I think if you served on the board for any period of time, you get, when you interact with the community, you get a lot of obviously direction, if you will, or just input from the community about what we as a board should be looking into. But a lot of times we don't ask ourselves what we should be looking into. So last, or about 2 weeks ago, I asked the board what it is that they ran for the board, basically, what they were after. So we had some pretty big topic points and things that each of us would work on, and I'm hopeful that the directors that I've asked and did respond back to that will continue to pursue those things. But as the president of the board, you really only have a short period of time to pick up one of those topics and try to make it part of the agenda for the board, and I'm going to do that as the next 12 months, hopefully we'll get some of those things done. One of the things that I've heard throughout my time, my 3 years on the board, is we need to improve communications between the membership and the community. And having run for the board a couple times, I know you're always asked that question at the NRC meet, the candidates night. What can we do to improve communications? If you've been a professional for any period of time, as I know we all have been, I can say communications is always a two-way street. And one side has to listen, one side has to talk, and then the other side has to talk, and the other side has to listen. I'm not saying BCA is good at it. I know we work on communications all the time. But to that end, I know I've asked Francis as our liaison to the NRC to schedule a meeting between myself and the NRC Executive Committee to go over what it is that we can do to, I don't want to say use the term retool the NRC. I think the NRC does a nice job, but to strengthen that link between the BCA Board of Directors and the NRC and start working on an effective communications program through them. But also, how can we better engage the community? We have a lot of devices out there for the folks to get involved with so they can get communications. You've got the Village Mail, an award-winning newspaper from the Community Associations Institute. We've got our website. We've got a BCA Blast system. You can even listen to our meetings online. All of these things have been done in the recent past. I know it's tough to expect, you know, all of the community to get engaged in the association. A lot of folks don't live in the community to do that. But I feel as a passionate member of this community, and you don't sit on the board because you're not passionate about Brandonville, but I feel as a passionate member of the community that we have a huge challenge ahead of us. The news in the economy is not good as far as home sales, the backlog of foreclosures, the continued pressure to drive home prices down. It puts a big pressure on all of us. A master plan that we've adopted and are trying to pursue are a big part of that. In order for that to be effective, I think we need to recapture the enthusiasm that we experienced when we were developing the master plan. And I think the most effective way to do that is to get the community re-engaged in the Brandonville Community Association itself. It's all there. We just need to figure out how to get the folks back. So that's going to be my agenda in the next 12 months. The board members that feel likewise, I encourage you to participate, jump in, volunteer for things to make it happen. No idea is a bad one, but that's where we're headed. I think you'll notice also that the president's report will not be on a micro level as far as what the community is doing. I'm going to leave that up to the community manager to advise what's going on with BCA operations. That's not up for the president. I am going to kind of provide direction to the board as far as what we as policymakers and policy deciders should be looking at. So that's going to be some changes also. Having said all that, let's move on to the director reports. Are there any reports from our directors tonight?
I just want to close the loop because you had asked to provide an update to the board on the status of the pool study. Although the information I had has since been superseded, and I will defer to Jane with some updated dates on that.
I noticed that as well. It's in the information regarding the, I forget the name of the project, but it basically is the infrastructure of the pool.
Pool analysis.
Right, yep. Pool analysis.
Can you do that on the
library? Yeah, we'll do it on the report. Any other director reports?
Yeah, I've got the
director, I guess.
Yeah, the county comprehensive plan update. The president asked me to give a short update because I was on the steering committee for the county. So the comprehensive plan steering committee actually closed our duties in November or December of last year. But we presented the draft comprehensive plan to the county on January 12th. A joint meeting of the Board of Supervisors, Planning Commission, and the School Board. The Board of Supervisors then sent the draft plan to the Planning Commission for review. They asked them to go out for public comment, and then they also asked them to come back with a new recommendation on what their action should be or edits should be on the draft comprehensive plan as presented by July 19th. So the Planning Commission has had a series of meetings on the comprehensive plan, normally one or two a month. They've gone through each of the elements of the plan. I'll let you know that they've made a number of changes already on formatting to make the plan a little bit more user-friendly for the public. I think they're good moves for the most part, the ones I've seen. There are also a few elements within the plan that have received a little bit more publicity than others, transportation being one. A lot of that between us, I think, is due to the fact that there were certain elements of the plan that had a lot more county staff involvement early on and during the process prior to going to the board. Transportation might not have been one of those, or they could have done a better job at that. Now, a lot of the differences are just on how the draft plan kind of sees us going forward with transportation and roads using existing roads. And the difference with the transportation department is on the east-west highway that was proposed for the future, I guess, has always been top of mind with the transportation department, was not part of the plan. So those are being worked out. They'll continue to be worked out. They actually have a meeting tonight on some of the other elements. They'll go out for public comment and district meetings, much like they did a year or so ago. Again, and those are happening pretty soon. I don't have the exact dates. I know there is another open house for the comprehensive plan to give the public some updates July 11th at the Chesterfield Central Library from 1 to 3. And So I'm anxious to see what the results of the meeting are tonight. And they seem to be still on track to deliver a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors on July 19th.
Thank you, Director McGinnis. Mm-hmm. Any director questions for McGinnis?
Not for Keith. Oh, I just had some questions.
Okay. Please.
Oh, when is our county meeting with the county? Our quarterly meeting with the county?
Jane, has that been scheduled yet?
No, I was going to touch on that on my report too.
And
try to get some dates in the next week or so from all of you.
And the strategic plan also? Are you asking about that too?
That's normally held at the end of July, beginning of August. So, especially with the budget process and the MPOC projects. So, again, I can send an email including both so you can give me some dates of availability.
So it's, okay. I didn't remember it normally being in July, but okay.
I think we talked about it earlier this year being in July, pushing it back a little bit because...
Because last year it was June, right?
Right, and it's a little bit early, and we don't have that much information, and yet actually it's easier to do. Sometimes it makes more sense to do once 6 months is up and you have financials for the
year. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, good.
Okay, any other direct reports? Next item on the agenda is manager's report.
I have a couple of things I'll highlight. Currently, I know everyone has asked about pool memberships. There are currently 567 pool memberships, and that is approximately 63 more than this time last year. We have, out of that 567, there are 89 resident memberships. John McCracken, Chesterfield County Transportation, notified me that the bid they had received for the roundabout was higher than what they expected, and so they're going to put it back out to bid, and it'll push the construction start date back about a month, and which means that they now won't be finished until the end of September with that project. As to Francis's comment about the county meeting, after having looked at the draft letter that the board discussed last month, I thought I would recommend that we invite the state officials to the Chesterfield County meeting, and that way they all get an opportunity to meet you and you can ask them questions, and Mr. Warren will be present, and it might be a better meeting in that respect. So I will send an email, as I said, to all of you trying to get some dates that we can get everyone available at the same time. I have also included, this was a topic from last month, you had asked me to include some comparisons between chip seal versus asphalt, and that's in the board packet, along with the cost of chip seal and asphalt, which was information that I received directly from VDOT. And if there's any questions about that, we certainly can invite a VDOT representative to the breakfast meeting, and we can ask them questions at that time.
Can I interrupt here, Jane? Members of the meeting, it's in their packet, right? That your letter's in.
Yes.
It's online, or for the benefit of people listening in at home. Then I'd just like to point out that the differences are when I look at this, and I'm going to have to, if the rest of the board of directors wouldn't mind, just picking up on the topic a little bit. It was really a cost comparison between chip seal and paving the roads. And clearly the state, and I understand why they did this, basically a tenth of a mile of road, if you put new asphalt on, they're saying it's about approximately $6,500. A tenth of a mile of road is for chip seal is $1,220 basically. So this is a state budget cutting measure. And I know one of the members tonight mentioned that the county in Brandonville would be affected by this. Well, that's true, but it's also a statewide process. So, and I'm going to use the term battle. The battle we fight is against the state and the State Department of Transportation and its budget. So this is going to be, a bit of a large undertaking for us. And I understand residents' concerns regarding what it is. Helen, I've drove through McTeers Cove on the way out here, and my Jeep did a little slide as I made that left on the Brandonville Parkway, because it's not all of the aggregate isn't compacted into the ground yet. So I know it's frustrating, but I suspect even when we pick up the hammer here to start the battle with Harvest Transportation, we're going to be with this process for a bit of a while. So I just wanted to point that out to everybody that this is really about state budgets and cost expenses as opposed to the county and their process. Hopefully, this is something we can address at the quarterly meeting in June.
And I think to that point, I think one of the areas of what we may do, if chip seal is here to stay, I've seen some chip seal jobs that look a heck of a lot better than the ones that we got. I mean, it almost looks like somebody came in and went down one side of the road and down the other and missed a big gap of 6 inches in the middle. And, I mean, it doesn't look like it was done well to me. Now, I'm not a road expert, so we have to bring the experts in, but I think if we're going to be saving, like it says here, $5,300 for a tenth of a mile, maybe we spend a few extra $100 to make sure it's done right and looks a little bit better than it is. Also, the second thing is that I've noticed they haven't gone back and done any lines. I don't know if that's something you can't do on chip seal, but if it is something you can do, I would like to have the lines back, especially on the parkways.
I asked about that, and I think they're waiting to be finished before they do it. Evidently, they share resources. So we have to get on the list. When I had the conversation with them, it was going to be like a couple of months to even finish our roads. So, they haven't even begun to finish Brandon Mill Parkway yet. I caught one the other day out there beside my house. Wanted to know what he was doing. So I had a long conversation with him. And so they're still in the process of doing the roads, and I'm not real pleased. I did get some information off of the website. It's probably about 15 pages that goes into the total crack and seal, chip and seal, or whatever you want to call it. And you're right. Unfortunately, the pictures on it are not real good of what the road surfaces should look like. But you can tell from looking at them that our roads do not look like the ones that are on this study. It was a study that was done and about what they need to do in order to make it a viable option. Okay.
Question I would have for, I guess, staff is if the chip seal process of Brandon is being done by a contractor, does VDOT have a complaint process or some way to monitor, the level of work that the contractors do perform?
Well, I think that's where hopefully we can address that at our breakfast with them and perhaps maybe get a little more information, and perhaps maybe they can understand where we're coming from and the concerns that we may have as a community about this. I realize it's a money issue, but so is everything. And, when they find money to do things, they can find money to do what they want to do. So perhaps maybe we can get it to come a little more to Chesterfield County instead of Northern Virginia or something.
I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I drive out of Brandon Mill Parkway to the back entrance to work every day. And, that road, when they started working on it, I was like, oh, gosh, I hope they don't do another section because there's nothing that needs to be done to this road. The road looks good. And you come back and it looks worse. And all the time we're putting up new green poles, and those look great and all, and then you got this going down at the same time.
Well, they're getting ready to go on the other part of Brandon Mill Parkway, so they're getting ready to go down. And I asked them, I said, well, they're getting ready to go down near the school, so they're going to be down there where the roundabout's going to be. And I'm like,
All right. Yeah. Let's let Jane finish her report.
That's okay. Jason's point earlier, the pool analysis, the schedule's changed slightly to line it up more with board meeting dates. The first date that was on the analysis was June the 15th, which will remain the same, and we'll get, the preliminary report will be finished by then. It'll be in your board packages in July, and I can always get it to you sooner than that, so you have plenty of time to look it over. Once the board meets in July, though, I'm sure they'll have some discussion. There may be some suggestions for changes. And so during that period in between the next meeting in August
Higgins and Gerstenmeyer will make those changes, and the final report will be delivered to you prior to the August board meeting. The other thing that I need is for all of you to approve Mary Camp as a new member to the Natural Resources Committee. She's a resident of Brandermill for 32 years. She's retired from the Department of Emergency Management, and her expertise is in hazard and flood mitigation.
Anybody want to make a move? Second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 And the last thing that I will bring to your attention, because it is in your board packet, and I will say that President McLennigan had a lot to do with this, is the flyer that you have on the race, the 7.4 race that's going to be held on July the 4th prior to the parade in Brandermill. There's information on the web. They have a website set up at brandermillrace.com, and the information is on here. We also have it on the Village Mill and on our website, so it's being covered.
Just on that, 7.4K is actually 4.59 miles. The intended course will be from Cloverhill High School parking lot through up Brandermill Parkway, around the North Beach Loop, and then back to Cloverhill High School parking lot. Approximately 4.59 miles. I think all the elements are in place now. The timing services are secured. The police security is secured.
Cloverhill secured.
Cloverhill secured. We just need to secure the runners at this point.
So Old Hundred Road will be shut down for that.
Yeah. We'll have police handling directed traffic.
Okay.
While we're running through.
Because that'll be, you'll have blockers. It's going to be an hour and a half.
Yeah.
When is the parade supposed to start?
10. So the road's usually closed maybe a half hour or so before the parade.
Yeah.
But we don't run down Millage Parkway. You'll note that Brandermill Parkway split all the way down to Millage Parkway. So the race can, the runs, mm-hmm. if we do have stragglers, walkers, then they'll use the other side of Millage Parkway. The parade goes down the other side. Police department's fairly adept at handling road race.
No, I mean, it's cool. I just was trying to figure out how it's going to work because there's that one section of overlap.
Yeah, we're kind of lucky that, the department, CDOT, Chesapeake Department of Transportation, is putting the thing back out the bid because the construction for that roundabout would have been right on July 4th. And it would have been the torn up intersection rather than the clear intersection. We're running, so.
Are they still going to do the roundabout?
Yes.
Okay, well, I didn't know since the price had doubled or something, so I wasn't sure if they... Oh, okay, okay. I had a question, Jane.
If it's going to double again, that would be another question, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So now, can I ask a follow-up?
Go ahead.
While we're still on the race, is Brandermill Parkway going to be closed during that time?
They're using one lane. They're only going to run down the one lane, but it's not going to be closed.
We're going to say no.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not our plan to close Brandermill Parkway.
Okay.
That would be the reason why we're having 7 officers to make sure intersections. We feel that by the time they get further down the parkway, they'll be spread out enough that the major intersections like Commerce Point, Metree, those places will have police officers stay
down at North Beach and then coming back.
Yeah, we'll have officers at the turnaround and then back, yeah.
See you there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worth a try.
Jane, I have a question about something else. Sorry. The stone walls. There's still some neighborhoods that don't have stone walls. Do we have any idea when the rest of them will be done?
The ones along the parkways have all been completed.
Right.
The ones that need to be completed will have to be addressed by the board at the next workshop. If the board's going to agree to do the interior neighborhoods, they're the ones that are still missing.
And I had one other question along that same, right before it, the street sign projects. How far are we on that project?
There's still street signs that need to be done in along Brandermill Parkway and I believe along Millridge, too.
I didn't know. Are we like 80% done with the community or are we?
I'd say 70%.
70? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about street signs, mm-hmm. The Community Character Committee has taken it upon itself to go out and try to make repairs on street signs where people have stapled signs. And
because president chair of that committee happens to be a friend, I kind of got hooked into this. So the other day, three of us went out and we repaired, we took out all the staples and we painted, we repainted about 18 to 20 signs. We're going out tomorrow in 90-some degree weather and do it again. We did everything from the country club down to Regatta Point. And we're going out tomorrow. She's got a schedule tomorrow. But to try to do another 18 to 20. But we'd really like to request residents. There are lots of signs in the office that are available. Please don't staple, glue, tape. Somebody even taped something to a stop sign, and when I pulled it off, part of the red of the stop sign came off. So please get the signs from the office, because I don't know how many more times we'll go out and repair the post, but they look so nice, and we're getting good comments about them, so let's take care of them.
Is there any additional communication we could do, maybe in the...
I think their pictures are going to be in the Village Mail and an article. Yes.
How do you want to do it?
There's a couple of items. I will address MPOC issues when it comes up, but there are a couple items I just wanted to highlight in my report that are not necessarily MPOC related. The first is the Harbor Point Medical Building Plan. In the report, it indicates the ARB will be receiving the full plans, and it will be addressed at their June 14th meeting. And then a couple nights later, on June 16th, right here in this room, will be a community meeting where development team, the HCA team, will be here to actually present all of the plan, both the building, the landscape, the lighting, and all that goes into that, with the ARB to make a final, or assumed to make a final determination on their next meeting on June 28th. So the word has gone out. We've done flyers. We've sent them out to the Harbor Point neighborhood. I think Wendy is putting stuff out on the, I think it's already on the website as far as the notification of that meeting, and I'm sure we'll do an email blast beforehand. So the other couple of other items, good news, for the first time, certainly the 3 years I've been here, there was no May hearing panel because every single homeowner had accepted the responsibility of bringing their property into compliance once the notices went out. And 16 is a kind of a high number to send out to start with, and the fact that all of them complied was an excellent result. So kudos to both the staff and those homeowners that brought their properties into compliance. I just wanted to highlight, I don't know that we need to talk about it, but I just want you to be aware of the mailbox vendor issue that we're having. Unfortunately, with Mailbox by Akins, we are not only getting complaints about service-related issues, we are hearing from those homeowners who felt or feel like they're entitled to a free mailbox based on the representation that was made to them back in October. And I've tried to reach out to Mr. Akins a couple times. I've tried to get some information from him. I've tried to bring him into the office so we could discuss it and try to come to some satisfactory resolution. But at this point, I've not been able to do that. So I'm going to, you know, try again in the next few weeks and see what we can do. But
do we know how many people that we're talking about?
We don't know exactly. Francis, Jane and I have both asked Mr. Akins for the list. We did that some time ago. We wanted to verify that those homeowners were still in that house.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he knows when they ordered it and when they paid for it. But he never did provide the list, and he's indicated that he doesn't plan to provide it to us now either. So, but we were told, I think, maybe 15. Mm-hmm. I think that was a verbal number that was given to us, but we've never seen any documentation to support that. So,
We are going to work on a plan, though, for how we're going to address
this. Yes, I'm trying to develop an alternative, if you will, if we're not successful in trying to reach out again to Mr. Akins.
Okay.
And I think that's the highlight of my report, President, except for the NPOC.
Thank you. Any director comments or questions for the management after the reports?
I'll have a comment, just a follow-up, that just happened today. A couple of guys started walking up our driveway today, and my husband goes out and he says, you know, what's up? And they were from Comcast, and they were looking for Comcast boxes to paint. They wanted to know whether the one down there at the street was ours, and they were going to paint it. And Colin says, well, I think they don't want just this one painted. I think, number one, it wasn't ours. It was the next-door neighbors, but he says, I think the entire neighborhood wants them painted dark green, and they want them all done. And the guy said, oh, you mean like all of them a standard color, the big ones, the small ones? And he said, yes. So the guy said, okay. And so he wrote something down and left. I don't know whether he's going to call the office or not. You're from Comcast.
Never see him again.
Is the wire still, the cord still on the road there? Is it still there?
It's still there. The cord. Comcast.
Well, thank you very much for it. We'll see if they ever call us.
Make sure they get the right green color.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Committee reports. Do you have any committee chairpersons you wish to commit to report in their committees? Diane, do you wish? No? Joyce, do you wish to? Nothing? We have the minutes for the community chairpersons committee along with a lot of the other committees.
Oh, I did have a question, sorry.
Yes.
On the community character, where on item D, where it says the BCA has agreed to fund a pizza party for the neighborhood that has the most mailboxes or something. Has that been communicated to the community so that all the neighborhoods know this and they know that they're in competition? Okay.
I guess I did not catch that because it should have said when the condos, the cluster mailboxes, and all that decided, and the condo folks had something to choose from for their cluster boxes, then whoever in the whole group, the residential homes and the condos, the first two, have their mailbox. Jane said that we could have the pizza party.
Oh, I know. I just
so
did.
We didn't want to advertise it until.
Until they were able to compete with it? Oh, okay. I just, when I saw it, I just didn't remember seeing it, so I didn't know if the community knew that.
Right.
Okay.
We will advertise it once everyone is eligible to participate.
Oh, okay. And give them a time frame to do that.
Well,
so
I'm not sure we would give a time frame. I think it would just be because we can't really say you have to have it by a certain time. We've already said it 3 years to come in with the market.
Right. Well, I didn't know.
It would just be whoever gets it together.
Right.
So far, Winnebago is leading the pack.
Right. But when the clusters go in, right, they'll go in like boom. So when they put them in, all of them will be already in compliance, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Any other committees? Does NRC wish to?
No, we
don't. Okay.
Do you want me to?
Yes, please. Would you please go over the impact project?
Sure. As indicated in my report, the landings phase one is complete. Came in about close to $1,700 under the budgeted amount. We are in the process of a landings phase two potential projects. I'm trying to finalize a date to have this community meeting, which will be at the landings. I hope it to be, obviously, before July 1st, but I just don't have that date nailed down right at this moment. I'm hoping for the week of June 20th. And that will be a meeting to go over the ideas that have bubbled up through MPOC and to let the community and the homeowners that attend certainly comment on them and give us their feedback on things that they would like to see, anything we haven't addressed. There's a number of committees that are involved in this, including crime prevention, community character, natural resources, facilities, and marketing. I think those are the five main ones that are involved in aspects of this landing space too. The landscape entrances, as I said, are 98% complete. In case anyone hasn't noticed, the big sign is now gone at Hull Street. It will return in 2 to 3 weeks. And once it does return, then Cross Creek will come back and finish the plantings. They left an area out there so workmen can get in and out on maneuvering around that sign and removing it. Someone mentioned, Diane, about the cluster mailboxes. I have discussed with Andrea, the chair of the NRC. I've talked to all four of the vendors at one point earlier in May. They said they would all provide me with design suggestions for the cluster mailboxes. I'd hope to have them all by now. I don't. I'll give them another week or two. Two of them, one of them is submitted. The second one said it's on its way. I'm not sure what the other two are now going to do. So we will have something more to go back to the homeowners with who requested that kind of feedback. So,
Could I follow up? I attended as liaison the MPOC meeting last time, and it was really exciting. Everybody is really excited about what's going on and how it's progressing. The idea of having this meeting down at the landing originated from Dick Guthrie, who's not here, so I can blame it on him tonight. But he came up with the idea to get residents out there and show them what we've done and then show them what we have in our minds that we are planning to do and then to get feedback. And we decided in order to really communicate best, what we're going to do is ask all four of the primary committees that Al just mentioned to have one or two, three people out there from the committee, and we'll group into small groups, like maybe three, four people at a time, and actually do a walk around and show, all right, here are the plants we put in, here's this, now we're looking at this berm, we're looking at doing this, and so that people really get an ownership of what has happened and what we look to happen, but also we can get some feedback on what other people think might work better. So we're hoping we get a bit of attendance out there, especially McTears Cove and Commodore Point people, because they're on both sides. But so many people use the landing, walk through the landing, go down to the picnic tables. We're including all of that area down there to look at. So we'd like to invite everybody and hope it'll be well attended.
Jane, is there any way we can invite the people that actually purchase space down there or provide? I mean, we get some revenue income from our
sure.
residents. Maybe we
we're going to send a flyer to everyone. Everybody is going to get a flyer. We're going to announce it to the entire community.
Okay. Thank you for bringing it up. The one last thing as far as MPOC is concerned. Diane and myself, Sarah Whitmore, Jane, met with the sign contractor the other day to follow up and pursue the directional signage. He has just today given me back a couple of markups that Diane and Sarah should have received as well with the suggestions that we've given him. We don't have any pricing yet, but we're making our way through that process. So I hope that in July we might have some more information on exactly what we're looking at as far as the...
Just to clarify for the membership, directional signage are the old wooden signs that you see, the square with the white lettering, part of our strategic planning session last year. And one of the minimal, I don't want to use the term minimal, but small a master plan project was to introduce newer, updated-looking directional signage for residents and whatnot, just like where North Beach Pool is, where the BCA offices are, those things. So this is just making sure that project stays on
yes.
track.
And it is developing, and I think we will have something before the end of the year as far as going in the ground.
Very good.
So last thing I have is, with Joyce's help, and I appreciate her assistance very much, come up with an example of timeline kind of project management document. It's still being refined, but identifying the action items that we might be using for the landings renovation. I've got examples of it here. If you'd like for me to present that, please. I'd be happy to do that. This is off of basically an Excel spreadsheet, and I'm looking into getting appropriate software that runs more of a project management program.
We don't have anything in the office right now that will actually draw this out. So you did a lot of work this week.
Yes, you did.
A lot of work. So basically, when I was project manager, this is where we started. And then from here, we fed it into our graphics program. And Jane, I believe, has contacted the HOAs, mm-hmm. and we're getting some ideas on what project management tools other HOAs or cities or counties have used to really show what's happening as a project goes along, what has to happen before that step, what has to happen after that step. So right now this looks a little bit complicated, but this has to happen first, and then we'll feed it into the graphics software as soon as we get it.
Talking about Microsoft Project?
That's one of the things I looked at. Yeah. Do you have that?
At work?
Well, that's what's coming back today when I sent it out. That's pretty much what everybody's recommended is Microsoft Project. So Al was looking at that. I sent that information to him late this afternoon, so he's looking into that.
Let's just keep in mind that at the county, we're still on XP, so I can't do Microsoft Project at my office.
Well, we'll print it for you, John.
Okay. That's all I have. It's impressive. Thank you.
Well, that's very nice. Good work. I guess, ultimately, in my mind, I think it's for the board to discuss. These projects would be posted, or at least these project times would be posted online for citizens to look at, see what's going on with our MPAR projects. Conceivably, down the road, if we start getting into larger projects, and this is for board discussion at some point, we get into larger projects with larger amounts of capital in them, community membership capital, if you will, you know, that this would be some way for the residents to see where this is where the money's going, this is how the project is going. So I know that's something we haven't experienced in the past, but again, going back to what I said earlier about communications, you know, if we want investment and buy-in on the master plan process, there needs to be, you know, not that we're not open, don't get me wrong, I'm not implying that at all, but I just think this, you know, some accountability and functionality of what we're doing so the residents can see it. I think that would be a long way to.
Our goal also is to try to move this timetable up some. I think it's been a process, as everybody knows. It's new to everyone, but we're doing better this year than I think we did last year in that we're getting community input prior to presenting any information to a finance committee or the board, so I think that's a step in the right direction. And my goal would be next year to have this done sometime in the spring as opposed to the summer.
We have a much more effective board liaison than you did last year. I was their board liaison. Okay, very nice, Al. Thank you. Any director comments, questions regarding that issue? Okay. Jane?
I'm looking for a motion to approve the tap fee ballot and cover letter. Last month, you asked to have several bullet points in order to explain it fairly easily to the membership. And for the audience, this cap fee did not pass on the annual meeting ballot, and we asked the board if they would consider sending it out alone as a standalone amendment to the documents in the hopes of raising the cap fee, which is the existing fee right now is $150, to up to at least 1 year's assessments, which would allow the community to have additional money to use toward capital improvements. There are a number of communities, including Woodlake, whose cap fee is already equal to their annual assessments, and therefore they have more money coming in without raising assessments, which you have to do also, but they have additional income coming in through their cap fee. I've included the bullets so residents understand what it's for, what it'll be used for, that a current resident does not have to pay it. If you move within it in Brander Mill, you do not have to pay it. And I hope that it's more of what you were looking for.
Mr. President, may I speak on this, please?
It's an item under motion. Yes, Mr. Ragsdale.
Once Jane is finished, then you open it up for public comment, right?
That's been my opinion, though, that when we have an item under motion, members may speak to that item. Mm-hmm. Can we let...
Right.
It's your discretion.
Yeah. Please, Warren. Exactly.
Thank you. I'm Warren Ragsdale, Hunts Ridge. Capital Improvement Fee Amendment. Recently, there was a vote in this community on this issue, and it was defeated, yes, by a close margin, but it was democratically defeated. Now the board has decided that this vote will not go the way they wanted, that they're going to have another referendum in hopes of getting their way. This referendum is so that the community association can raise an additional $47,000 so that they can spend it. Let's look at the facts. When I asked people why we're doing this, the answer was, well, other associations do it. Woodlake does it. And I said to myself, who does this hurt? It hurts the people who want to buy a home in our community. They must come up with an additional $400-some at closing just to live here. Sure, just like the federal government does, let's tax one class of citizen to pay for the rest. The board says to the people of Brander Mill, vote for it. You don't have to pay anything. We'll just put it off on someone else. Would we not be better off if we use this to our advantage and tell realtors that we're going to waive this fee, this tax, or whatever you want to call it, to encourage people to buy in our community? Maybe they'll like the idea and we can get some of these empty houses in our community sold. I looked at the 2010 Brander Mill budget, and it was $2,174,000. Over half of that budget, or about half of that budget, $1,045,000, was for salaries of employees. If we eliminated one person, we would raise that money. That's just how simple. Or, to be sure, in a $2.1 million budget, you can find $40,000. I have three questions for the board I would like to have answered. I would like to know where in the bylaws it says that the board can continue to have referendums on issues that have been defeated. Will you, the board, continue to bring this issue up time and time again, even though it's defeated? How much is this referendum costing the citizens of Brander Mill? And thirdly, will you allow opposing views on the cover letter that you're going to send out on this ballot? I know that you're going to tell people what it's a good deal. I would like to be able to tell people why it's not a good deal for us. In closing, I'd like to see if you're going to do a referendum, let's have a question on there about how the citizens of Brander Mill feel about the board and the management team over the last year. If you're going to do it, let's have several questions. Let's find out what people think. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Warren. Since we have an item under motion, Warren, I'm certain that some of the points that you raised, but perhaps the board would like to discuss when we discuss this item under motion. Any other comments? Thank you, Keith. Any other comments from or comments from the membership that are present regarding that item? No? Okay, directors. We get a motion to approve the khaki ballot and cover letter.
So moved. I have a couple. So moved. But discussion.
I second.
Okay. The motion has been made and seconded by Director Rowe. Director comments.
Jane, isn't it true that if we had been able to count the ballots that came in late, it would have passed? Is that true?
We needed approximately 10 votes for it to pass.
Mm-hmm. And some came in late.
Oh yes. Oh yes, quite a few. In fact, we're still getting some.
Well, it raises a question, you know.
Do we know what they would have voted though, since that's closed? Or do you open those after?
We don't open them after.
That's what I mean. So you really don't know whether or not they were positive or negative. Yeah. Okay.
One thing I think we ought to definitely let our membership know, I mean, most people really want us to pursue the master plan, and they want to see improvements, many of which a lot of people are starting to see now. There won't be any money to do these improvements. And so I expect the assessments will have to go up. So if we want to continue to improve our neighborhoods, we're either going to have to increase assessments or do something like this. I mean, the money is just not going to flow in. And I understand about getting rid of one person, but it's like the government's going to, you know, get rid of your project, but don't get rid of something that I want. I want to see the greenery cut back. I want trees cut down. Okay, so we can't get rid of maintenance. I want to have everybody pay their assessments. I want covenants enforced. So we have a staff, yeah, but over half of that staff is in maintenance, and I don't know of many people who'd want to get rid of our maintenance staff, nor our office staff.
So those are all very good points for discussion of whether or not residents should vote for or against, and I would encourage Mr. Ragsdale, if this is passed, to go out, and certainly it's a democratic process, right? We're asking for people's votes and opinion, to go out and, you know, let your opinion be known. I like the way that the referendum is written. As I read through the 6 bullet points, each of them are statements of facts. They're not, you know, people have told us this or we believe this. They're all statements of facts that are all absolutely true. The only thing that I would change on the first bullet point, it's fine as it's written, but I would just emphasize on their existing resident and commercial member, and also I would use just not.
Yes, will not. Yes, that was going to be my suggestion. Will not, because people don't read, I will tell you now. After teaching school for 30-some years, I know. Most of them will say, oh, it will cost a resident. And then that they're going to go to the next one. That's it. Will not cost.
And I would just add on their existing resident.
An existing resident.
Just so it's clear as to what I'm saying, stating the facts. But, you know, it was close. This is more clearly written. You know, if it had failed by less than 50%, I would say definitely let's not go back out. But I'm for it. I have been for it.
Now, you need to direct the comments on it.
Well, for our record purposes, how much is this additional referendum costing the association?
It'll cost us the postage.
So 40.
So 3,700 homes approximately times, and it's less than 44 cents because we're sending it at a first-class bulk rate.
Which is what, like 33 cents?
I think it's about 41.
So it's like 1,400-some dollars.
Mm-hmm. Do we have the authority to charge this only to residential members and not commercial members?
The referendum is written just for residential, so it's not been charged to commercial.
But I mean, we couldn't just charge, at least the advice in the past has been, we couldn't just charge the residents a universal access fee for the pools, because that would assess rates differently the assessment increase has to be applied uniformly to all the classes of members. But can we assess this fee just to residential members but not to commercial members?
Well, we had a legal opinion on the verbiage, so I'm assuming so.
Is that because the CAPI doesn't apply to commercial sales? The property's not ours, technically.
No. Well, none of them are ours, technically. The residence property isn't ours either.
I know from the meeting that Keith and I had a couple of years ago, most commercials don't own. I mean, they just rent, and it's very, very seldom we have turnover in property ownership.
That's true. Also, there's very few buildings being sold.
That makes them
almost
mute right
there. A lot of them do lease them. Yes.
Do the commercial members vote on the referendum?
Yes.
Yes.
They do.
Therein lies the problem.
Well, maybe not, because I brought everybody a list tonight.
For us to call.
For you all to call and ask for support of it.
No, the point was that commercial members get to vote to raise someone else's assessments that they wouldn't have to pay.
Right. You're right, too. As a member of the association, yes.
Doesn't seem right, does it?
So we're supporting Mr. Ragsdale's position. I'd be glad to vote to raise
how
Keith's tax.
Did y'all? did y'all discuss this when you voted for it the first time? Do you remember whether or not
that was the strategy to get it passed the first time?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as what commercial members pay and get and their return on the investment, there's no argument there. But I was just wondering if that was raised. If you remember, if it was raised the first time.
Well, I remember we talked about it, but I guess that's the way it is.
Tony Giordano was the champion.
That I don't know.
I don't think
it was discussed, and there were some of the same questions about how to assess commercial ownership and to divide their assessments when they divide property or whether it's by square footage. So there were some of the practical implementation challenges.
All right. Any other director comments on the issue? All right, here's just a couple thoughts. One, the increase from 150, we're giving the association the ability to make this increase. We're not saying we're actually going to do it right away. Is that correct?
That's up, and it's up to 1 year's assessments. So you go anywhere in between.
Yeah, this is already in place.
It's already $150.
But any increase from there, as I recall, the issue was
it's capped.
In order to move, it's capped at 150.
In the documents.
In order to match a community like Woodlake and some of the others, we would have to do this in order to get the cap fee
to
monies that they have.
Or to increase it at all.
Or to increase it at all. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line.
You need the referendum to be able to increase it, yes.
I mean, membership has already voted, right, to do this one time.
Yes.
So.
When it was capped at
150. That was when you were all for it and gave us the list to call. You wrote it originally, I believe.
I picked up where Tony left off when it didn't pass the first time, that time either.
Any other questions?
This one took two or three votes to get it passed the first time, at least twice. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is it for me.
Well, so how many times are we going to vote on this then?
This would be the fourth.
Any other?
No, I meant on this time. If it doesn't, if we agree to vote on this and it doesn't pass this time, are we going to do this again till we get it passed? Is that?
Well, let me also respond to Mr. Ragsdale's other question, was where in our documents does it say you can't. Put this out for multiple referendums, and the short story is you can do this an unlimited amount of times in the board's discretion. So while it may not be the wise thing to do, you're certainly not limited in exercising the board's discretion in choosing to do that. And as a practical matter, when the pool purchase was announced and we only needed 2/3 vote at that time, we got really close. So if you ignore what 74.9-something% of your community voted in favor for, then you are essentially ignoring a significant majority of your community. It's extraordinary to get 75% for anything and to have gotten that close. Like I said, you didn't get it, but you say democratically elected, and sure, that's well over majority. So it's a tough call. but you don't, again, you don't want to disregard what 74.9% of your community wanted and told you they wanted.
Any other director comments?
Well, I guess the other thing would be just the way I understand it. I mean, the money that's going to be raised from this is not going to keep assessments necessarily from going up, because I don't think it's going to get raised. You're not going to raise that much money. So I don't see that as an argument, but so it would get...
That's a valid point. I mean,
I just want to make sure people don't, you know, they're not thinking, oh, wow, you know, we're going to pass this thing and now we're going to have this money that we're not going to, you know, be able to do these projects. So, I mean, if you're talking, what are we talking, $45,000 or something?
When it was passed, the projections were an average of 300 homes per year selling.
Well, yeah, but now...
But now it's half that.
Yeah, right. So, you know,
so
it's just not going to probably give us that much money at the cost of these most of these master plan projects, correct? It's just going to be a very small fraction of it.
Well, conceivably, with home sales like they are now, you're essentially keeping the capital fee from diminishing annually.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're not even at a maintenance point right now. So your point's valid, Frank.
No, I just want to make sure that everybody understood that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to, if we were to say pick up a major project, $200,000 project.
That's right. This is nothing. Okay, it's very small with the size of the projects.
Any other director comments? I'll call a question then. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed?
I'm opposed.
That the record shows, Director Livingston is opposed. Okay. Next item on the agenda, motion to approve Pebble Creek Community Improvement Grant.
I'd move approval of this proposal as submitted.
I'll second.
Since this is an item under motion, or theoretically, actually, my plan was whenever we had an item under motion, I'd allow the membership to speak before we took the motion. However, since I've messed up not once but twice in a row now, I'll provide the membership an opportunity to speak to this particular item on the agenda. Are there any members that would like to speak to the Pebble Creek Community Improvement Grant? There being none, we'll take the motion. As that motion was moved by Director Livingston, seconded by Director McGinnis. Any comments on the grant?
Go ahead. You go ahead, Keith. Well, first off, the impatience, it's not a big deal. And, you know, the money is not a big deal. But those are just annuals. And so, I don't know, $32 is not much money. If they want to consider maybe putting a perennial, which will then continue to come back. But one of my other questions is, I think it's great that people are, you know, doing the community and wanting to update it and whatever. Does this area get water? So that I noticed the schedule seems they're going to plant now. And if it doesn't get water, do they have a plan for, you know, watering it so that we don't lose those plants during the summer? And my other comment is about the bird bath. I know bird baths are great, but they also are mosquito places for mosquitoes. And I think bird baths have to be cleaned every other day. And so I just asking.
But staff taking notes here. Mm-hmm. So when the board approves this, is that...
We can take back comments.
Yeah. I'm not saying I object to it. I just didn't know if they had thought about some of those facets.
I'm guessing no.
I would think they would have thought about somebody to water.
I thought I read that in here. But we can certainly ask them.
Yeah. Well, the bird bath would be the other one because it will draw mosquitoes, that standing water. And I think when I talked to... I asked about it once for a bird bath, but I was going to have to clean up the bird bath like every other day or something because of the the algae that builds, and then the birds get sick. And so, you know.
Some chlorine.
Huh?
I heard the birds.
Anyway,
so maybe they want to reconsider the bird bath.
Oh, I don't. I just know when I wanted to put one in, I had, you know, I had to go back and reconsider it. But
our motion,
we'll just ask. Just ask. Yeah, they're going to maintain the bird.
The board asks you to think about these things, especially the issue of the his impatience. Yeah, that looked nice the first year.
I wrote that down.
They will. They will see. They will see. Yes, they do. They
mine don't.
See.
Mine.
I have one other suggestion that wasn't in there. Is they didn't include any cement for setting their bench.
I was going to ask, is the bench removable? I mean, I think we need to look
not
at
the one they're buying.
The one they're buying
one
look like they're pretty sturdy. It would need to be anchored in the bars.
Yes. Yeah. I was looking at the bench and wondering if they needed to do something with that.
So they didn't cost that, although it's not much. But
We could approve it for
$20 more for cement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or bags of quick treat.
I think, or even as submitted with cement.
Yeah. That's true. I probably miss this or don't understand what it is. Everything was done nicely. I mean, it was certainly put together really nice. The flagstaff, what is that? Flagstaff recycle. What does that mean?
Are they walking stones?
Yes.
I think those are walking stones.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was looking then at the outpriced items, and I didn't see the $96. So I just wanted to make sure.
That's the way I took it, yes.
Flagstone. I think it's flagstone.
Maybe that was. Yeah, flagstone.
Here it says flexstone.
Have we had opportunity to look and make sure that what they're proposing that everything is within covenants?
I know I talked to Jane today. I know the bench is actually what we use.
The bench is what the VCA uses. There's nothing, there's no materials in here that we wouldn't approve on someone's residential property. So I would say no. But there's no covenant violations in this material.
Okay. And that was good. That was just one of the, I was thinking it was one of the criteria. Now that I'm looking at it, yeah, it is. For the selection committee, they're supposed to do it. So, no, I think it's good. I'm glad it's been a while since we've gotten one. So
it's also, also, it was very thorough.
I think it'll look really nice. I think it's going to look really nice.
This is the first time we've received this year.
Any other director comments on the community improvement grant application? Okay, there being no further comments in it, call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Nay? Okay. Next item on the agenda. We've already made mention of this tonight. Now, Jane, you probably want to speak to this a little bit, but the signage in the roundabout.
I can do that.
Please.
At the last meeting, there was a picture of just, I think it was just two signs, one on either side of Old Hundred Road. And I think Dick had asked about a larger sign to be put in the center of the roundabout. So I went back to Brooks Gray, and he came up with three different samples. The first one that you have, it says four-sided gazebo-style sign, is just the front view. Then the next picture, you can see that same sign as a four-sided, you can see two sides of the four-sided gazebo. Mm-hmm. And then the next view is the sign, it would be two signs, as you see them like this, with a waterfall. But that's not four-sided. That's just two signs. And then the last one, if you notice, the waterfall comes down from right under the Brander Mall, so it's at a different location. And that would be two signs also.
Is that a picture of a waterfall, or is that indeed a waterfall?
That's indeed a waterfall.
That's a waterfall. It's going to be gonna have water. Huh?
So basically, you've got sort of water feet.
You've got pillars with the brand sign.
You've got a sign with a picture.
I just thought I'd ask.
For Brandon.
You might be opposed to that.
What are we being asked to do tonight?
Well, I'll tell you. What you're asked to do is at least look at these and tell me what you'd like to see. I want you all to know, we have to pay for the sign. In case you weren't aware, VDOT is not paying for this sign. Right. VDOT is building the roundabout. They are putting in the landscaping and the irrigation. So I just want to be clear that the sign is going to be the responsibility of the BCA. In order for this project to move forward, John McCracken is waiting for this board, for me, actually, to send him a picture of what this board would like to put there. And so he can send it to VDOT to see if VDOT will even agree to it. So I need to know what you'd like to see there.
Do we have any idea what the gazebo-style sign costs?
No. And I had asked him for cost, and the reason that we got no cost was because on the ones with the fountains attached to them, a landscaper will have to be brought in, and done, and that work will have to be done by someone other than the sign company. So he didn't have any cost ready for me for tonight.
Well, what about the one that doesn't have waterfall?
I got no cost from them on any of the signs.
So this one that's kind of in the middle, and that's why, I mean, I wondered what this is. Is this water?
Yeah, it's going to be a water.
It's a picture of it.
Yeah. Well, I guess I wouldn't be real enthusiastic about the water feature. I could just see it filled with bubbles all the time. So, you know, I just don't know that we ought to put a water feature at the school. Okay.
Well, Jane and I talked to the phone today about that. That's of course everybody's first fear. There are a lot of communities out there that have these.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, we have them over at
the tide effect.
We have the one there on Genito Road,
right. It does occasionally happen to Genito Road. It's not as often as you might think.
Yeah.
They look nice with the water. It would be extremely attractive.
What about the ongoing maintenance concerns?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be responsible for the grass, the plantings, the maintenance of the island we're going to be responsible for, and of course the sign maintenance will have to take on.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
The maintenance of a water feature versus
what is
sign
the
without a water feature.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, we'll have to do that too.
But I mean, what is involved?
How
many more additional person hours or
I'm not sure.
I mean, you know, if the water quits working in it, then
we'll have to outsource all of that. Because I'm sure no one on our staff knows.
But I mean, what's going to have to be built in to our, you know, what is this going to add for maintenance, for electric, for water, for chemicals, for cleaning it periodically, I'm sure.
Yes. All of that. Mm-hmm. It will be an additional cost. You're right.
Insurance. I mean,
I guess my take on where Jason's headed with this, he went for the gazebo. You're going to have probably some more initial cost up front, but less maintenance costs, I would think, afterwards, where you're just talking about lighting the thing externally.
And if you feel more comfortable, I could probably, hopefully I can, I mean, Mr. McCracken's waiting for an answer tomorrow, but I could get back to the sign guy and maybe get him to ballpark the gazebo sign structure first thing in the morning, so at least I could shoot you an email with an idea of what it would cost.
I think I'm hearing the gazebo too. While the it's more consistent with the sign up
front,
right? Be it, I don't like the design of that either, but it's at least consistent. and also, I'm sure if we went with this, and then we found out it was a lot more money, and we had to go with something simpler that looked more like the sign out front.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. McCracken and VDOT are probably going to
they
would approve something lesser.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I assume the stone is supposed to look like the stuff that's up front.
Too. Also, to add, I think we initially gave staff direction on this particular project that was to put something in the center that was larger.
Mm-hmm.
And the gazebo is in keeping with that direction. So.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it looks nice.
No, it's definitely
it does. I like
Has this waterfront community tagline been approved?
Yes.
Yeah.
By whom?
The board.
We did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we know that that's the same one as Ashbrook uses?
And Woodlake. They're
Life on the Lake.
Woodlake. They've got a pond back there.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Ashbrook, a waterfront community. Yes,
and they say a waterfront community.
So you're suggesting that because they're not really a waterfront community.
Well, no, there is some water back there, but we're sort of plagiarized.
It's too late.
Well, it's too late now. That sign's being done.
I'm not certain we're plagiarizing them because there's a lot of communities.
This one's not being done.
No, the one out front is.
I don't know. I don't remember voting.
I'm not certain you can say you're plagiarizing Ashworth because if you're a waterfront community, you're a waterfront community. You can't exclude yourself just because somebody else.
That's not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is lack of originality or lack of imagination.
Well, we talked about it. I remember the board meeting, and you were here.
I thought the last thing we got was a discussion of the font size and the coloring, and I don't remember voting.
No, because Sarah got up and talked about the water, how they came up with the waterfront community.
You remember me complaining about this looking like a 1980s?
Like the 80s. Mm-hmm. I remember the discussion I don't remember a vote.
Yeah.
And I thought there was some discussion about whether the other letters should be white or the green again.
There was a discussion about the letter color.
Yeah. Rather than dive into the details, let's just focus on the fact that we're approving a pavilion design.
It's so about that size. Some stone.
And Scott, it may cost, this and that. So just remember what you're voting for.
Pavilion design. It was rather largest because that was the direction of the board from the last meeting.
Well, with no information available, I support the gazebo style.
Right. With no information available,
With the rest of the board,
I go along with that.
All right, there you go. What's next?
Oh, boy. Seems like we could have had information.
Docks and contour lines. Last meeting, we directed Jane to come back with us. Apparently, there was a map that the county had provided to the community association regarding the impact of the contour lines on several of our properties. I think it was included in your package. No? Yes, maybe?
Yeah. The map isn't, but there's a portion of the documents that talk about docks, and then there was an article in Chesterfield Observer that I copied and put in your packet. Some docks are out of compliance.
Our docks or what? Woodlake docks?
All docks.
All docks.
All around Chesterfield. Yep. And they named Branham Mill and Woodlake. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if everyone had seen that in the Observer or not.
Oh, yeah.
At any rate, I included that. The long and the short of it, and we do have the maps the county gave us, the long and the short of it is that we're fairly certain without doing a survey that all the docks that have been constructed in Branham Mill are below the 180-foot contour line. And the documents in Branham Mill clearly state nothing can be built below the 180-foot contour. So that would mean that the current documents don't allow docks.
Are there any other structures that might be below the 180-foot contour line in Branham Mill? Like a house, for instance, or
a part of it,
or
yes.
Boardwalk, or
yes.
Boardwalk, or a yes. Deck structure.
Deck yes. structure.
There are, in fact, some of the. If you look at the map, there are 180-foot contour lines that go through people's houses, or go through part of their yard. It all depends upon where they're sitting on the shoreline. That's why when we looked at the map, it was sort of easy to determine that those docks, definitely are below the 180-foot contour because everything, half of their property is.
So in essence, without risking the ire of Director McGinnis, in essence, if we were to approve the enforcement of such a rule, are we asking those people whose homes are under that 180-foot contour line to remove their home from there?
It says docks or not, right?
Yes.
It just says docks. It doesn't say houses.
It doesn't say homes.
No, it just says docks.
It says no buildings.
No buildings or structures of any kind.
Where is it?
The part with the arrow next to it.
The part we blade.
Sorry.
The blade we pointed out to you.
I was going to highlight it. Sorry.
No, the arrow was pretty good.
Well, that's nice.
What are you recommending, Jane? What are you recommending?
That we forget it.
Yes.
Well, I don't think you can forget it. I'll tell you what.
No, I'm asking Jane what she is recommending her.
To be honest with you, I think we're in a real bind.
Okay.
We've got a lot of docks.
We were getting more every day. There are no guidelines for docks, so they're all being constructed differently. You know, if you read the article in the Observer, the county's going to require that the people that built docks have a letter from the landowner, which is East-West Partners for the land under the lake. If every resident that builds a dock could prove that their dock was on the land under the lake and not on Brandermill land, you would still have to allow them access because they have to cross open space in order to get onto their dock, so, which could be a removable ramp. But that would be a question as, do we want to do that? Could we require each resident that built a dock to have their property and surveyed and proved to the board that their dock is entirely on East-West property? It's an option. We then would have to say, are we going to give residents the ability to cross open space to get to their dock? I really think that if the board says there's no docks and all these people have docks, and I think I heard today from Teresa there's at least 7 more in Bayport Landing that have cropped up over the last couple of months, that we're going to have a lot of upset people who have spent a lot of money. I'm not sure that's something the board wants to do. But I think somewhere in between is where we need to be.
In between our documents and the residents?
Well, you either enforce them completely or you make the resident prove that their dock isn't on Brandermill land.
Can we change the documents?
With a 75% vote?
Well, we got this going out, and we're asking for 75 on it. Can't we add this to it?
We're talking houses that actually come here. I don't know how in the world we're going to make somebody tear down a house.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I said, but don't we need to change this, okay?
But we have to have 75%.
Can I just provide a take on this? I mean, the original covenants, which we're talking about here, I imagine this was written before whatever committee in question was actually put on paper, and so whoever planned out that committee didn't obviously look at this particular covenant.
Right.
And so we have this issue crop up. You know, the other point for me is the county is asking us to enforce something. I'm just not comfortable with it. I mean, it's the nature of the dock and how it's built and its construction is between the landowner, and I understand your point about whether the land is ours or not, but that's a moving target as far as I'm concerned at this point. Landowner and the homeowner, and if it's a question of whether they cross BCA open space, well, it's open space. We can't not allow them to cross BCA open space. So those two points right there make this an untenable circuit. I mean, the question whether the county asking us to enforce something that's really not our purview and to ask someone just because they cross our open space, I don't think that holds water for me personally. And I'm not an attorney, but I just don't think it holds water for me. And then to do it would mean that, you know, I'm sorry you built that dock or that deck or that house 25 years ago, but, you know, that's... You know, if I'm going to force this rule, it applies to you here also. And I think we're in a real sticky wicket with this one.
Is this the only place where we prohibit docks? This is the only...
That's the section that's on...
Section
the
in our documents
waterfront.
Where we prohibit docks.
That's under the waterfront section, yes.
So I remember something. There's another part.
Talks about
the 178-foot.
Yeah, there might be something in the Third Amendment by restatement, maybe. But this is specific to docks.
Yeah, this is talking about construction. I thought there was another part.
That's why I pulled that one.
About maintaining the buffer.
There is a 178-foot contour line, but I think it has more to do with the buffer.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't there also something to be said for the fact that if for somehow... we did have some standard or whatever for docks, then at least there'd be some consistency with what's being built as opposed to perhaps maybe now what is going up and whatever somebody feels like they put up. And
but we couldn't enforce it. It's not our property.
Well,
because I'm wondering what, because this is addressing what's to be done in certain spaces to keep the natural appearance. But the whole issue has been before is docks built on open space property, on our property, mm-hmm. on the BCA's property, all the residents' property. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to see where that fits in. I would assume that there's no homes here built on open space property.
No.
I understand what this is saying, and I see what this is addressing. But I think the whole point where we were going to address docks was that whether or not docks were on our open space, mm-hmm. then we should have some authority or at least some concern over the liability that we were having or would have by those docks being built on open space. They're out in the middle of the water on east-west, and my opinion was we have no...
Can somebody explain to me where... I always understood that if it was underwater, it was east-west.
Well, mm-hmm. not in August.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's a moving target, and I think...
Yeah.
I think for the sake of argument, if it's not attached to shoreline, it's not rentable property.
So are you saying we just have residents, they have to prove that the dock is on east-west property, that it's not on our property. And if it's on our property, then we can fight it or do whatever. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm just saying that's an option.
We don't have any authority to not enforce this covenant.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
That is, if we are aware of a dock mm-hmm. in open space,
we have a liability to do that.
Enforce that covenant. You can't just say we choose not to enforce
the
covenant.
What about the house that's built in the?
But this is a different.
Line. This is yeah.
Okay. This is open
you were talking about open space,
yeah. Right?
Yep.
That's contour line.
So, mm-hmm.
All right. Well, what if it is not on our property?
There's we have no obligation.
Mm-hmm. If it is on our, if they can prove, I mean,
they have to. The resident has to prove.
On our property, Jane. Then what would you suggest we do at that point? Have it torn down?
I mean, maybe we move back to the point where mm-hmm. it's off our property, and then they have a removable ramp to mm-hmm. access their dock.
Right. Mm-hmm. Before we make any or even provide direction to staff, does the board think it'd be a good idea to find out how many docks are of the nature that we're discussing?
I'd like to also find out where the county is on their proposal that they're going to come up with something. Because we keep hearing the county is going to create a standard, the county is going to do this, and yet we don't see anything. So are they? I mean, can we find out?
Well, I mean, at what point does that matter to us?
Whether that would have any effect or not? Because I know they wanted us to give them the names of everybody who was putting on the dock at one time.
Okay. We can check on the county. To your question about finding out what docks we're talking about, without a survey, we don't know.
But we can require the survey.
But we're putting that back on the resident.
Yeah.
Because
that's an interesting question.
Well,
we don't know where
now he's...
Yeah. Well,
who's responsible?
It shouldn't matter whether there's one or 100 folks who
yes.
have put up a dock without a permit, without ARB approval, and without mm-hmm. a survey.
Right.
I concede that point.
It shouldn't matter if it's one or 100.
Right.
But the interesting question would be procedural. Mm-hmm. So imagine if you were to cite someone and you believe that their dock is within Brandon open space, and then you give them a violation, and then they go to a hearing panel, it becomes, and then say they ignore it, and then you have to go to general district court and you can enforce it. Mm-hmm. It is the association's burden to prove that it's in the 180 foot, not that the homeowner's burden to prove that it is not in the 180 foot.
Are we talking 180 foot or are we talking open space?
Well, both if open space away. Follows the 180-foot
right.
contour.
Right.
So.
But that puts us back in a quagmire because 180
it means
you, foot,
we've got to pay for a survey
houses.
In advance.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it's just.
The other thing that I will say is.
Software.
That's a legal.
Isn't there an app, literally, that gives you, is it altimeter that will tell you where the 180-foot is from the bottom?
Isn't there something that would do that?
That should tell you height above sea level, and that's what it's measuring.
There should be an app for that, that anybody can walk around and find out where that 180 foot is.
I don't know how accurate.
We have the map, Joyce, that would show it. It shows every shoreline property.
I think this whole discussion has kind of opened my eyes up to something that we cannot go around and pinpoint where BCA property is. How do we correct that, and what cost do we correct that?
Right.
Well, the other thing is that the last docks that have been built recently are all being built like on an L shape, right. And they're extending out pretty far into the lake. So I'm not sure they'll even get permission for those, or if they would have asked for permission from East West, I don't think they would have been approved, mm-hmm. because East West stated to us in an email months ago that the only type of dock they would approve was a dock similar to the ones in Woodlake.
And that's only so long. It's not
an L-shape.
Right, right.
So I think they're, you know,
maybe that's where we should start, is maybe we should write a letter and notify East West with a carbon copy to the Chesterfield County Water whatever, and tell them about these docks that are currently being built that are...
What position do we want East West to take? That these are good things, that these are bad things...
I don't know that we want them to take any position. We want to find out what their position is. I mean, it's
considered. At a certain point, if you own a dock and it's attached to BC open space, there'd be expectation that you will remove it from that open space.
Right.
The problem is we've got to answer where is our open space, and until we can answer that, even
Director Guthrie is not here, but I know the last time, the last board meeting, we discussed that, and that I think as a board, as a group, between us and staff, we've got to come up with a common sense solution.
Well, now that you bring up Dick, we know what he would say, that he would very likely be opposed to any dock, but we also have to recognize the limitations of our shoreline, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that it's shallower and more susceptible to hydrilla, which is leading to these longer mm-hmm. docks going out, which are definitely on east-west property. So, again, the bigger question is what is the organization's position towards these docks, and then your next actions flow from that. If you're in favor of them, then we can move forward and amend the documents to allow them and develop standards. If you're against them, then we need to enforce our covenants.
Well, as a director, though, my feeling is if we have a rule that says they're not, if and this issue of where BCA common space not open space notwithstanding, if they're not on open space, then they're on east-west property, therefore they're not enforceable by BCA. So the adoption of a standard, I think it becomes irrelevant. The board takes the position, as long as it's not attached to BCA open space, you must comply with east-west standard, and therefore county is now...
Well, east-west doesn't have a standard, mm-hmm. and I mean, the reality is whatever the BCA asks for, east-west would very likely support. If we say the organization supports docks, and we support these standards for those docks, and we'd like you, when you grant permission for someone to construct it, to require that they comply with these standards, east-west would do that. If we say, we don't want any docks, it's the organization's position, the docks are bad, we want you to tell everyone who has a dock on your east-west property to remove it, they would do that, or very likely, if the organization took that position. So...
Well, maybe that's where we should start, is find out...
What's the organization's position?
Yeah, what is their position?
No, not east-west, Brandon.
No, it's with Brandon, not east-west.
Would you agree with that, Jane?
I don't agree with that.
You think east-west would take a position contrary to Brandon's?
No, I don't think so.
If we were against it, that they would let a dozen or two dozen docks sit on their property?
No,
if we were opposed to it?
No.
I think east-west would do whatever.
I think we have to get back to what you said, is that if this is in here, then we're liable to uphold
this. Unless the organization wants to change
unless we change
and give
this.
The community a chance to amend its documents.
Right, right.
Which requires 75%, a supermajority of the membership.
Yep.
But it affects so few. Well, anyway, I wouldn't want to speculate on the result.
Right.
That would be the path forward. But I again suggest it's the first step is to decide what's the organizational position on docs.
Mm-hmm.
We've given staff a lot of stuff to think about. And I think we all have a lot of questions. Are we in a position to start formulating a position here yet? What do the directors think?
I mean, my position is I wouldn't want docs on open space. I think they create a liability for the BCA that we shouldn't assume. Understanding that we don't have a good definition.
Well, the other point to that is that anybody that builds a dock, and if it is on open space, then anybody can go on it. So it's not just the builder of the dock. Anyone can access that because we've given permission to come across our space. Correct? Well,
it seems like this would be a good topic to invite folks to the next meeting to have a member voice segment. Mm-hmm. And encourage folks to comment and give us some feedback.
I would prefer, if it's at all fine, I don't know how to do this because it's actually a very complex topic. Mm-hmm. And we're in our third meeting with this topic.
Yes, we are.
And as directors who've been exposed to it, we still don't have our minds open.
No, I know.
Well, me personally, with what we know about the marina situation and its volatility, the hydrilla issues, our own sedimenting issues on this side of the lake, I would support docks, you know, again, with appropriate standards, and of course with East-West approval, but I think that that is an option we need to develop, knowing that other options are limited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Get rid of the marina, you might.
Well, you said you want to get out of the lake.
John?
It's so complex. I don't know. I don't know. Because there are docks there. Do we have a number? We don't have a number of how many there are.
It changes, you know.
Yes, like.
I mean, we can send Teresa out tomorrow, but.
Did they get building permits?
Nope.
No. Did they come through the ARB?
No.
Nope.
No. None of them have been approved.
None of them have been approved from us.
And it's not on our property. They didn't have to do that.
And even if they thought it might be on our property, they didn't apply for it.
I don't know that we know whether they got building permits. We assume that they didn't, but I don't think we could say
they would
say
have
that.
Had to have approval from East West.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they would have to.
Well, and the county might have expected the them to have approval to approve the BCA gave them approval.
I don't think any one of them got a permit.
I agree with Jason. I would say that's true.
So what's the downside for the docks that are already there? That's on East-West, not that it's on our open space.
The downside is they may not be consistent because they're designed.
They're not. There's not a standard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We can't enforce it. There's some liability concerns, an attractive nuisance concern, aesthetics, environmental issues.
Even erosion.
Mm-hmm.
And with no standard, erosion, you're going to get any kind of dock you can imagine out there.
Well, they're promoted as erosion control devices.
I remember the man speaking about it.
They're docks.
They're docks.
They're going to erode.
No, they're supposed to prevent more erosion.
Yeah, but they don't. They just cause more
erosion. Well, they do in our cove. I mean, now I'm not for docks, and you hadn't asked me yet, but I don't think...
We're going round table.
I don't think Brandon Mill approved docks originally, and I mean, I don't think they should be on BCA open space. But I can tell you there are three boats in our cove, and when the waves start coming in, and I mean the wind comes, it comes heavy towards us, and those boats just hit up and back and up and back against mm-hmm. that shoreline, and I walked down it back a few weeks ago after we'd had two heavy winds. And I mean, the boats erode the shoreline.
If they were attached to a dock, would they do
that? You know, John, I mean, they're called erosion devices. I don't know whether that's true or not. So I can't guesstimate what would happen if there was a dock. But I can tell you, the wind blows mm-hmm. towards you, and those boats mm-hmm. start hitting that shoreline. That shoreline just eats out. I've got a whole area right down from us that's just eaten out.
And the woodlake dock design the boat is not hitting the shoreline.
Well, the wind blows predominantly towards our shoreline.
Towards our shoreline.
But it's constructed that way. I believe a couple of meetings ago, the Natural Resources Committee presented some information on this issue, and if I remember correctly, I think they had a position that said these docks do not stop erosion. Mm-hmm. They're not erosion control devices.
The lack of the dock, though, doesn't stop.
Exactly.
It's the boat that causes the erosion.
The boat itself is going to cause
it. And it's not good for boats.
No, the reason that they want the dock is because the boats, the bottom of the boats start to deteriorate because of them hitting.
Okay, Francis, what's your...
Man. Well, my position is that our covenants don't allow docks. And our position should be that we don't allow docks. Now, if we want to allow docks, then we need to change the covenant to allow docks and put in a standard so that at least everybody is, there's some kind of a standard so that you don't have crap out there and the cheapest guy putting the thing in and figure out what your liability issue is going to be when people go across BCA property to get to the docks, because at some point anybody can go out there on that dock and do whatever.
So you're saying no docks on BC open space, or no docks at all? Because Joyce, I heard, she's no docks at all.
She's no docks at all. You said because the documents don't.
Because
allow.
The dock, right,
but
right.
I would have to capital improvement fee either.
Which means BCA open space, right, Francis?
So,
right.
And five of you voted to change the documents because the organization supported an increased capital improvement fee.
I'm going
to
well. Okay, I guess I didn't understand the capital fee as being a covenant issue.
Can we talk about that?
It's not.
Right.
It's not. I mean,
it is.
A covenant issue?
It's in our covenants.
Yes.
Well, it
right.
is at 150, yes.
Let's just get...
Well, no, that brings up another question, though.
Well, you said you were opposed to it because the documents didn't allow it. I just want to understand.
You're exactly right, and I did not realize that the capital fee was a covenant issue.
Yeah, these are the documents that take 75% to amend, which include the capital fee.
Okay.
So.
Your position on docs is you don't allow them in open space?
No.
Okay.
No.
Mine's the same. No docks in BCA open space. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not in any way for a standard. You know,
well, it's moot, which means
right.
Once the organization opposes it, then now we need to direct staff to enforce it,
mm-hmm.
and let staff figure out a way to determine which ones are on open space or not.
Right.
And if you're serious about that position, then you also send a letter to East West and tell them to eject any dock that's on their space on the Brandermill side.
Having made this decision, are we making a decision, or are we going to...
Well, the other thing you need to consider is that Jane needs to prepare something for the budget or how much it's going to cost if we have to survey those properties that have docks.
Right now, I think I'm opposed to just saying, boom, here's the date, let's get the hatchets out and start cutting this thing from the shore. I'm opposed to that as well.
I am too.
Let me finish. What I'd like to see is, and here are my concerns, frankly, about a decision like this. The county's going to come back at us and say, well, we would like to see a standard, and we would like BCA to start approving these things because now we're involved. And I think as a board, just repeating what Jason has said, we have decided no docks in BCA open space. The question of the standard of a dock is moot as far as Brandermill is concerned. And that's between East West and the county. And I think that is my position on this one. Now, we can get, once having decided that, the board can continue to discuss this issue of the contour if it feels it needs to.
I agree with you, John, on that piece. I think the one common denominator in all of this is I don't think anybody's necessarily in favor of docks on the open space. And I think the direction to staff then is, look, that's what we want, that's our desire as a majority of the board. How would we go about implementing that? And that's docks on our open space. Mm-hmm. To John's point, I don't think we have to answer right now or decide to direct East West Partners to do anything on their property. I mean, that's on their property, that's kind of my position. I'm not, they're going to allow docks on it, that's for another day.
I do think we need and Jason made the point, I don't remember, Jason or you, I don't remember who made the point regarding some type of discussion, discourse with those homeowners that we're affecting. You know, let's get them, and I hate doing this, but, you know, let's get them involved in the, if we're going to make these decisions that could impact them financially, let's get them involved in one wide.
Well, I mean, now five folks here, and I know Dick has stated his opposition to docs in the past. It's really, it's not going to get past this board. So, you know, start enforcing our covenants, and then you'll hear from those folks. We don't need to hear from them and then to tell us not to enforce the covenant that we've got to enforce anyway.
I would just like those property owners that are affected to know, all right, this has happened. Let's give them a, just like we did for the mailboxes, let's give them a certain period of time to make. Now you could say we're going to start putting out violation notices, but
yeah,
as far as fining and that kind of stuff, you know, I would like to see some considerable leeway here.
The only way we're going to be able to send a violation letter is if we have the property surveyed.
Mm-hmm.
So we need money in the budget to have a survey done.
That's
so
why I said you need to get how much
the survey originally, right? And it hasn't changed any. Hadn't changed hands, right? So it's been in the BCA since the last time it was surveyed.
If we have
so
a plat.
So what would change?
Well,
we don't have a
shoreline. 35 years of erosion.
Yes.
Shoreline's going to change.
Yeah, but how is it described in the plat? I don't understand how it's described in the plat. Is it the open space? Is it based on a...
It's from a line certain to the 180-foot contour, which, again, is where the water hits the...
That's the part where...
So you're telling me that this is the same definition that we're... This, the open space is consistently defined that way? It's not consistently defined.
No, well, it's marked on plats, and it's usually marked from the rear line of someone's property... You know, on the plat to that space to the shoreline to
yeah.
the water.
Okay.
And because the water line changes, they use the contour, the height above sea level.
And that's where the difficulty comes in.
Particularly where it's very shallow.
It's not whether it's right behind your property line. We can figure that out. It's how far behind your property line is it, so does it extend into the water? That's the issue.
So your recommendation back would be after a little, I know what it is right now. Would be this that it's unenforceable.
What's unenforceable?
That we can't figure out. We have to say this. We can't figure out where our open space is.
Yeah. No, she.
It is enforceable. It's expensive to enforce.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. And the other thing is, it sounds like you don't want docks, but yet you don't want to tell anybody really that the existing docks that they have to remove them.
No, I don't mind.
No, I don't mind telling them.
I have no docks on open space.
Okay, well,
but for all the reasons you don't want docks, you should also be lobbying East West to not permit docks on their space when you know that you've got to cross open space to get to it. For all the erosion concerns, for all the original intent of the document concerns, for all the environmental concerns, the liability, all those reasons, if you're serious about that position, then assert that position.
I can't ask the forefathers what their original intent was, but, you know.
Well, everyone has their own reasons.
Right.
What I'm saying is, without doing a survey of each person's property, we have no one on our staff who can go out and determine where open space ends and East-West property begins.
And how much is the survey?
It's roughly $300 per property.
Other than the docks that are obviously in the water.
Right.
How many properties we got on the waterfront?
About 200.
Well, how many have docks, though?
I mean, we're
right now we're thinking
we're splitting hairs over certain 30? Properties that might
25 or 30.
We got into some details
yeah.
that really don't.
And you know, today they may
decision.
Not be in the water, but if it rains, then they will be.
That's you know.
Well, the water doesn't matter. It's
yeah.
the
right.
it's the contour line.
Right.
Because in August, the contour line is still the same.
That doesn't matter to me either. It's the obvious contour line. I mean,
talking about $7,500.
We're not going to do them all. If there's 20 of them right now.
Yeah.
Right, look, we're diving into staff issues now.
Exactly.
Let's back up. And this was a 5-minute agenda item. I would suggest that. We probably ought to talk about it again. Director put this on the agenda for May.
So you want this back on in July?
Yes.
Now, I will say this. If you're going to consider changing the documents, if that's a consideration that's coming up in July, then I would hold off and not send the cap fee ballot.
This board's not going to move
because
forward,
it's not. You have to send another ballot at $1,400 more.
To be honest with you, if you're telling me that at the next meeting, your staff's just going to come back and say, well, we can't identify where our open space is, I'm not even sure I want it on the agenda because, I mean, that's going to be a sticking point. I'm never going to be able to get over that hurdle. I don't want docks in our open space.
You just have to pay for it.
Well, then, is that what we're directing? Is that what we're going to have? Because I don't want to rehash this. Say we've done it three times. We've had this conversation three times. I don't want to have it again. The only conversation I want to be a part of is going to cost us $60,000.
Right.
Are we going to do it? Yes, no.
Right.
And that's it.
We don't have an option not to.
Right. We just need to make sure we've got $7,500 to take care of the 25 docks
we've
got.
A fiduciary responsibility as directors to apply common sense to how we direct the community.
And I think we do have some leeway on what we can enforce or not as long as we're consistent. So right now we're consistently doing nothing.
Ron Evans tear down a $15,000 deck.
Well, I wasn't on the board when that happened. I understand. I understand the point you're making. It's exactly why we're arguing this case.
Ron Evans,
you know, you make the decision they're not a VCA open space. I understand where that leads us.
Yeah.
Now, having done that, you know, we leave it alone. It's not a VCA question. The problem is deciding what open space is because I think you get into splitting hairs of whether it's August and the water's here or whether it's February and the water's there.
What the water level is.
When the surveyor does it, that won't matter. Am I correct?
It's just it's either there's water there or there's dirt there. The contour line's the same. It's just whatever your height is above sea level.
Right, so the survey doesn't change. If I have the survey done in May, it's going to be the same as it is in November. Am I correct?
It should be, as long as there's not significant erosion.
There's some that's going to be obvious, even from the map, because, like I said, there's some of the 180-foot contour line goes right through the middle of somebody's property.
Yes.
So anything beyond that doesn't... Mm-hmm. Nothing's
it's
supposed to be built there.
Yeah. Right.
But that's the contour line. Then you have a property line yet, and then you have open space. So the surveyor is going to look at their property line opposed to open space, and he's going to have to determine from the property line to the water's edge, where does that end? And where does East-West now own the property?
So you can't enforce the covenant unless we do a survey.
We don't know where the end of open space is.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you can't do it until we do a survey.
Ultimately, we would have to do that. I think Jason alluded to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it would seem if you worked with East West and the position was no docks, all you have to do is to jointly say with East West, remove your dock. Then there's no question that it's on someone's property that doesn't want the dock. And you just saved yourself all the money of your surveys and all the hassle of enforcement.
You just get East West to do it.
Well, no, you both say, you write a letter.
Who's gonna then enforce it?
Yeah, who's gonna
BCA? BCA has no right to enforce that, except for those.
Can prove that it's somehow not on East West or BCA property.
East West is gonna somehow. I don't believe East West is gonna enforce it.
No, I don't need.
If we ask them to,
yes, if we ask, they're gonna say no.
Why? Because someone built something on their land without permission?
Yeah.
We're going to say,
resident who already says he has permission from East West.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think the stipulation was that they come back to the BCA and get approval, which was never done.
I can't imagine East West not siding with us on a request.
Wood Lake has a ton of approved docks over there.
I'd be in favor of taking Jason's proposal to East West and see what they'd be willing to do.
I had no problem with Colin Clement Carlisle.
Yes, I would get their position.
I thought he told us before he didn't want to get involved.
Yeah, your concern was money and surveys? I just saved you $300 a survey.
Well, we're going to pass the capital fee. We can certainly cover surveys.
You know what? Wait a second. Hold on. I'm going to make one final comment. We're going to move on from this tedious conversation. Just want to remind the directors, you know, sometimes it's not about black and white. You know, sometimes it's about what's the right thing to do for the community. And I'm not certain taking a black and white stance on an issue like this is good for the community. So, having said that, we're going to move on from that agenda item to go on to this really fun agenda item that Jane put on.
I like the party rules.
Amended pool rules. We, as I read the document, do you want to just address this? The main changes were had to do with
moving age. Yeah.
Moving. What was that?
Removing the age.
Removing the age from where we do the swim test.
I had a question on that. How can they do it at the movie theaters?
Beg your pardon?
Check into it. All I know is we went to a legal seminar and Fair Housing.
I'm just asking how they can do it, you know, when you go places and you get a senior discount. Isn't that the same type of thing? It's a discrimination, basically.
Well, if somebody sues you, they can probably take it to court. But the attorney is trying to protect us from that. And she had less heartburn with the part where we were having here about senior discounts for memberships and things like that. It's more where it's children involved. And you have, our rules contain ages of children.
No, I understood that.
And that are over and above the age where they can actually lifeguard, because you can lifeguard at 15. Mm-hmm. So the magic age for fair housing seems to be 15. So anything under the age of 15, she's telling us be careful about, that it doesn't look like you're discriminating against that age group.
Who's the cheater?
Cassie Craze. So she's tried to word it in a way where you take out the age of a child or you take out the word children, and it makes it more generic to all groups of people.
Right. And has the facilities committee reviewed this?
Yes, they have. I got no comments back.
No comments.
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I have some agreement with the suggested edits. I'm compulsive, admittedly.
To her corrections or to the doctor?
You know, actually, her...
It was really hard to tell. Mine were hard to tell where the...
No, her edits are just fine. I have some, since we have a chance to look at it, to at least correct something.
Okay.
I would just like walk you through them. On page one at the top says, first sentence, I'd like to strike pool committee and board of directors. So it would just say the rules are established by the Brandon Community Association, and especially since we don't have a pool committee anymore. Mm-hmm.
Should we change to facilities committee? Or
there's no need to put the committee or the
board. Right.
And I did that a couple other places. I'm on page seven, near the bottom. The section entitled commercial memberships, we don't have commercial memberships. Mm-hmm. We don't define it anywhere. I don't know why that section's there. I'd suggest striking the whole thing. Or else it needs some rework over what was intended. I think the intent was to allow commercial members to participate in the pools. But that's not what it says.
If a commercial member wanted to join, we've always told them the owner of the business could join. But this says they're tenants and employees. We've really never gone that broad with it.
Food Lion says we want a commercial membership.
Yeah.
Under the commercial membership heading, are all of their employees members?
No.
I mean, we just don't have that category. We should.
They could apply, though, because they would pay the same fee, I would guess, as our non-residents.
Yep. Except the fact that we don't even know means it needs some work.
Why would they pay the same as non-residents?
Because
if I own a commercial property and I say I want to join Brandon Mill Pool,
the employees would join as non-residents if they didn't live in Brandon Mill. The owner would be able to apply as a Brandon Mill owner.
Mr. Tolkien.
Okay. So an employee would be a non-resident
if they didn't live.
If they'd have to pay a higher fee.
Yeah.
If they didn't live in Brandon Mill, then
what is the virtue of being a commercial member?
The owner gets to join. As
the owner of the property.
Well, they're a property owner anyway, so...
They can join if they want.
But we're saying even their employees have to be a non? Have to pay the?
I suggest we strike the language since it's not.
I don't even know what it says. Is my question.
Right. Only, it just needs to come out.
The only reason why I don't want to strike it, John,
this has always been in here,
I want to make sure that
even when this was approved by the board.
Yeah.
Originally, back a couple of years ago, this language was in here. Nothing's changed except.
I think it has
comments
to do with being a commercial member who's renting property versus the commercial member who owns the property. I believe it means commercial members are those who rent storefronts. That is that not right?
Well, it says commercial owners, which is capitalized, as if it was a defined term, and then it says their tenants and employees, which would include those folks. Then it talks about business owner at the end of the second sentence, capitalized, as if it's a defined term, but it's not. So it just needs some work to say what you wanted to say.
Employees of the food.
How much is a non-resident membership more than a?
Well, it all depends upon what category. Families, $495.
Versus?
$435.
Well, food line is the extreme, but what if it's the?
But it applies.
A small bit. Well, it should. What if it's the Luckies?
That applies.
But I mean, can their employees? I mean, otherwise they get no benefit for their employees. It's irrelevant to put them in there because they're either resident or they're non-resident.
So then what you're saying is strike employees, and you could say commercial owners or their tenants.
Okay, so who's a tenant?
Somebody that leases a property.
If it's a business.
That's what I mean. And it's not, if it's not their employees, it's just the person that's running the business or the space.
So I mean, Lucky's LLC is the tenant of that building. They don't own it. Who's entitled to have
the
a membership?
The person who signs their rent agreement.
Lucky's LLC.
Right.
Signed by Keith McGinnis, president.
Right. And that's it.
So this one is beyond the fixing piece. I would say let's maybe move forward from this one. If this obviously is some concern, maybe we send it back to the facility.
We can strike it. It really never even comes up.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
I can imagine it applying at any point.
Okay. Well, I'm just pointing out that it's inconsistent
it's
with the document.
The pools allow membership for non-residents. So
right.
The only thing that I want to make sure is that commercial members who own commercial property who pay would get the same resident price.
They would.
It's the only thing.
They would. Even without this verbiage in here, they would pay what a Brandon Mill resident pays.
So it's
the Brandon Mill
unnecessary.
It's not necessary. To Jason's point, I would agree. It's not necessary that if we handle it that way, to even put it in here.
But the dry cleaners at Waterford Shopping Center, because they don't own the whole shopping center, they just rent their space.
Mm-hmm.
They're non-resident, no benefit.
Yeah.
Even if the
they're not a property owner like we are.
I don't know. But I mean, the reality in commercial leases is that your brand rule dues are passed on to each of the tenants pro rata.
If they choose to. If the owner chooses to.
Well, just like taxes, just like common area maintenance.
Sure,
it's passed on to each of those tenants.
Unless they're the owner, what we would say is then you're a non-owner or non-resident, you pay the higher rate, which would equate to maybe the highest category.
So no benefit for a commercial owner to pass on to their tenants. And I don't care the answer is, I just want to know what the answer is.
Technically, we would say no.
Okay.
You can certainly join, but we wouldn't prevent you from joining, but you're going to pay $60 more.
Okay. So to tell a commercial member that this is a benefit for you.
We don't do that, do we?
I don't know. Because they pay a percentage of their assessments.
Wait a minute. Let's back up. Because if it was a resident and you rent a property, your tenant can join as a resident. So I think a tenant could join
That's what I thought it was. That's why I was being.
How about this? How about we keep that paragraph in there and maybe ask the facilities committee if it's necessary to strike.
Send that question back to this village. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
they didn't know we were changing that. So
they didn't read it when we asked them.
They didn't read it clearly.
We'll torture them with that topic. Thank you, Jason.
But
I have one question though. If you rent a property in Brandon, let's say you rent the house, does your maid service get to join the pools at the regular rate?
No. Tenant does.
But the tenant does.
The tenant does.
So
the non-resident
a little
rate would apply.
I'm
just saying.
Mm. So commercial members, anyway, it's like I said, it hasn't been an issue, but it's in there, so it should be right.
All right, we're splitting hairs big time.
All right, page 9, dependent member policy. There is no dependent member policy. Dependent was defined on page 7, so I don't know why this section's even in there. There's nothing separate about that. So I would suggest striking that whole section.
Where do you say it? It's
on page 9.
But where else is it?
On page 7 in the...
member.
It's on the top, number 6.
Yeah.
Dependent
person. I see.
So
same thing.
You define dependent, and then you use dependent again with...
So it's redundantness.
I think it's in family. Yeah.
Okay.
So
we can strike that. Okay.
Let's see. Top of page 10, it's got pool committee twice. Let's just change it to facilities. I'll give you these if you want them, Al.
Okay.
Then at the bottom, the acknowledgement of BCA, I'd strike the 2010 and just say BCA rules. And then that's also first sentence of the second paragraph. And those would be my friendly amendments if there's been a proposal.
So I just want to make sure we give no discount then now for you're either a resident or a non-resident. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
But if you're a tenant, you still get the resident.
No. We haven't solved that.
Yes, we have.
What?
Your resident.
No, I'm talking about the senior, though.
Residential.
So you're not going to give a senior discount.
Yeah, we are. We haven't changed the categories.
Can we give a senior discount?
Yeah, we do.
I didn't think you could do that.
Well, don't tell the AARP.
You can give
okay, all right.
Discounts that you can't do.
What was the main point of...
Okay.
There's an issue of the swim test now that I heard you discuss.
It's making it age...
Yeah.
Making it compliant with the Fair Housing Act.
I've suggested that they swim test everyone under the age of 15, especially those children. When you look at that, the group won't be that large because there's a lot of children that are coming with their parents who, the group that we're concerned about is the group that are coming there and their parents work, they're not with them, and they're just sending kids to the pool. Those children need to be swim tested, especially if they show signs that they cannot pass a test. That's what we're paying Swim Metro to do. That's in their management contract. They need to figure out how they're going to do that.
We're going to have a hard and fast rule like that? Like if we know the kids on the swim team? You know, you're asking, again, my point to the board is, you know, you've got 6 lifeguards there, opening day. I think that rule puts an onus on the swim lifeguards that it's going to extend, it might endanger the lives of some of the swimmers.
I think it takes them a while, several weeks to swim test all the kids. They don't do it all on opening day or even in the first couple of days. There are so many children that they do it over a period of time.
Well, I know I couldn't swim in the lane lines for at least 3 hours because they're swim testing that day. And they had both managers working on Saturday of opening day.
So you weren't able to get in all your laps, John?
I wasn't able to get in all my laps. Until 5 o'clock.
Let's take it off.
All right, you know what? That's my point. I'm not making any more further points. How's the board feel about the rule?
Jason, swim test?
Yeah.
No.
Thank you. The policy.
The whole policy.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Okay.
We vote on the whole thing. Those in favor, Mr. President?
Are we doing that? We have to do
you
that?
You need to make it.
With the changes.
Can I get a motion?
Can
I get a motion to approve the amended pool rules?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Francis? So moved.
Yes, so moved. Whatever.
Seconded.
Second.
Any board discussion beyond that we've already discussed? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed? There are no nays. Okay. Dear members, thank you for joining us tonight.
There are a lot fewer of you than
we get a potted drink, right?
Thanks.